All right. So if you've been with us, you know we've been talking about faith. In Mark chapter 11, Jesus says some just ridiculous things, promises. And I feel led to tie in that amazing passage with worship music. So you guys can open your Bibles to chapter 11 of Mark. And essentially what we're going to be talking about this morning is that worship music is an absolutely great place to practice our faith-filled declarations. We've been talking the last couple weeks, few weeks, about making faith-filled declarations. Before we get there and tie it together, I want to talk about music for a minute here. Worship music. And we do this every time we gather as a public gathering of our larger church family. We sing songs. And just even stepping back for a minute, it's good at times to ask the question, why do we do that? And in the most basic, kind of primal way, we do that because we believe that God has given music as a true expression of the soul. Music is a fascinating thing. You can look across cultures, across generations. I mean, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, and no matter what part of the world you go to, as sociologists and anthropologists study culture, music is everywhere. It is absolutely something that hits the core of being human. I mean, it's a fascinating thing to see kids, whether you're a kid, you just gravitate. People love to sing songs, or whether you're an old dude. I mean, that's kind of one of my favorite things, is just seeing old guys at rock concerts and just seeing how they know every word and they're singing every word. And it's just this funny thing, because old guys, you know, he's got to get prideful old men, but you get guys in the context of music and they're not afraid to sing. And there is something powerful and beautiful that stirs up the soul with music. And when you think about it, it actually, I think, reflects to us the beauty of God. That God is the one who designed us. And when God wants us to communicate with him, it's not simply words. As Psalm 40 says, the psalmist cries out. He says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he heard my cry. He lifted me up out of the pit. He set my feet on a rock, and he put a new song in my mouth. That's just interesting. This is King David, a man of great power and great importance. Yet God put in his heart that passion to sing. It's just interesting that it didn't say, and God put a new word in my mouth. It says he put a new song in my mouth. That there's something absolutely special that just gets down to the core of our soul when we express ourselves in song. It is a language of the soul. That it's not, when God does something awesome in our lives, he doesn't just put a new word in our mouth. He puts a song in our belly that can just connect with that deepest, most expressive part of who we are. All our hopes, all our dreams, all our fears, all the most raw emotions can just come out in a song. I mean, songs can get you fired up. And I remember in high school, we used to, right before our football games, what are you doing, you know? You're not listening to Frank Sinatra, you know. You're listening. We're Eye of the Tiger, man, and just blast that as loud as you possibly could through the stadium, and just help you just get fired up. You can feel, you connect with those emotions, and you're going to the battle. You're going to the fight. You're the underdog. And it just stirs up. And is that just, you know, emotional rah rah, or is it something that God inherently created about music to be this true expression of your soul? I even caught myself thinking the other day about, just that moment of preparing for our football games, getting fired up. But what I was singing was not, you know, Soul Survivor, Eye of the Tiger, though that's great. I was alone in my car singing a worship song, actually just more listening to this song that this woman was singing about faith. And literally, I found myself, as I'm hearing this woman just declare, I'm full of faith, I'm full of faith. Like, I found myself, my body was tensing up, and I was joining with her, and I, like, seriously found my whole self, like, flexing, like, because it was expressing, like, yeah, I'm full of faith, yeah, full of faith. And it was just this, like, my whole body was, like, flexing, and I'm ready for the fight, I'm ready for the battle. I'm like, let's go do this, I'm ready, Lord, let's go fight, I'm full of faith. And I'm feeling my body, like, flexing all over, and it reminded me of, like, dude, this is like going into battle on the football field in high school, but it's a world of difference. It's just, but there's that way that music can truly express this primal desire that God put in us to not just have words, but really prayer in prayer, and I believe that's what it is. It's a language of the soul. And we put that towards God. What is that? That's prayer. And so when we come to God in worship music, it's meant to be prayer, letting those raw, primal emotions of who we are as humans come and sing to God. May that be an authentic prayer. And I love that. I love that God is an artist. That God just doesn't always want you to just come talk to him. He wants you to come sing to him. Because God is an artist. And God loves. I mean, that's a beautiful thought. That God wired you in a way. And what does that tell us about God? That he wants you to not just come and talk. He wants you to come sing. That is a beautiful picture of God, that God loves singing. I mean, we, you know, just think of just movies, cartoons, you know, people burst into song. And is that cheesy? Well, according to Scripture, that is a God-given thing that reflects part of God's nature and character. God's a singer, and God loves when you sing to him as part of that authentic conversation of what's going on in your heart, what's going on in your life. God says, yeah, come talk to me, but yeah, come sing to me. That is just so cool. It's so interesting. And as we do that, that's part of the discipline of when we come together as a church family, we, speaking of rhythms, we want to live in these rhythms of coming to God in song. Not just coming with words, but coming in song, because there's a nuance to it. There's a special kind of raw, primal quality to being able to just cry out in song. And what I want to encourage us this morning with is it's really a great opportunity. Worship music is a great opportunity to practice our faith-filled declarations. That's not the only thing we can do in worship by any means, but it is a major way. Worship music is an opportunity to practice those faith-filled declarations. And I want to encourage us that as we move forward as a church family, week by week with worship music, to engage our minds in the process and begin to take this, not begin, because I know some of we already do, but increase the way in which, with intentionality, as we sing the songs, as we see the songs, as the band plays the songs, that we're engaging our minds and looking for ways in which we can engage our mind with the truth of the lyric, and then that deep, primal cry out of, we want more of this in our life. We are trusting in God that what we're singing about is a promise that he's giving us, and we can just leverage that faith to say, God, this may not be my present reality yet. I may not be experiencing this in the fullness yet, but man, You've said it in your word, and I'm just going to, ooh, cry out. And let that deep, expressive, raw soul just bring it to God in faith-filled declarations. Because if you guys notice, and I want us to notice, when we sing songs, worship music is often huge. That's where we put our hopes and our dreams. We sing about those things. They're often a place of big, lofty things about God, about salvation and redemption and power and transformation. These huge, big, God-sized prayers, if you will, about what God is going to do in our lives and our future with God, and how God's going to do these amazing, big, lofty things. But to be authentic with that would be us practicing faith-filled declarations. Because we don't want to just sing those songs and not mean it, right? We certainly don't want to just listen to it as good music. I mean, there's a time and a place just to soak it in and let it hit you. You don't always have to have words coming out of your mouth. But we're not here to just appreciate good music. We're not here to appreciate a good anything. We're here to encounter God. We're here to connect with God. And praise God, the band's good. I mean, that's a nice bonus. But we're not here just to listen to good music. We're not here just to sing songs because singing is fun. We are here to engage genuinely, authentically with the God of the universe. And as we sing these songs that have these big, lofty, awesome, huge declarations, what I want to challenge us to is to increase the way in which we are using our minds, training our minds to not just get lost in singing them or lost in enjoying the good tune or lost in some other place, but to use that as an opportunity to have genuine, that authentic, faith-filled declaration. I want to take us to a few places here, a few songs that actually we're going to worship the Lord and after this message. But I want to walk us through a few songs to kind of point this out and show us how, man, these are great opportunities to say, you know what? This may not be my reality yet in fullness, but this is a promise from you, God. And so I'm going to declare in faith, this is your will. And if you haven't been tracking with us the last few weeks, Jesus has given us and in fact called us to this incredible privilege of calling into existence on earth things that do not yet exist on earth. It's amazing. Just to take us to the scripture quickly here, Mark 11, 22 to 24. Jesus says, have faith in God. Truly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and thrown into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass. Just an astounding statement there. One who believes that what's coming out of their mouth will come to pass, it will be done. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe you have already received it. It's past tense. Believe you have received it, and it will be yours. And this is where Jesus very clearly invites us to pray in a way where we are speaking out declaration. That's what a declaration is. You're declaring something. You're speaking out God's will over a situation before it's come to pass. And again, just a reminder, this is not arrogance. If this was our idea, this would be arrogance. But it's not our idea. Jesus has said, I want you to trust me in this way. I want you to exercise your faith in this way. I want you to get to know my heart, get to know the Father's heart, so that when you come against mountains in your life that you know are not God's will and not God's heart, and you know what God wants to do in those situations because you know my heart like a good father, then I want you to find those mountains and see them and in faith speak out a declaration of what God's will is in that situation. That's an amazing privilege. And again, we only would dare to do it because Jesus told us to. He's a good dad who said, I want you to do this. This is your privilege as my beloved children to learn my heart and then look at the landscape of your life and speak out my heart, my will, my promises over those situations. Declare in faith that you've already received it, that it will be done, and then it will be done, to use Jesus' language. It's just amazing. So we want to come into this with a learning posture. Wow. What does that look like to walk through life more and more, making declarations, faith-filled declarations of God's promises over the hard situations we face and over the battles and over the mountains? And worship music is one of the most perfect places to practice those kind of faith-filled declarations, because they're often this huge, big, lofty, awesome stuff that we're singing. But I'll be honest, if you don't come with this mindset of faith-filled declarations, then oftentimes you can come into worship music and just feel like, not feeling it. Don't connect. That's not happening in my life right now. So I'm going to just tune out. And worship music is not meant to be something that, I'm not feeling it in the moment, so I disengage. I'll just break it down real quick. I think really when we come into worship through music, there's really two things that help us authentically engage. It's not all about what am I feeling in the moment. Like to sing about God's love is not about do I feel this overwhelming sense of God's love in the moment, and if I don't, then I'm just going to check out and not participate, or it's not real anymore. I'm not going to engage. Really, I believe what we see in Scripture is there's two primary things. A, thank God for what he has done, and B, thank God for what he will do. And so when we engage in a worship song, as the Psalms display for us, enter his courts with thanksgiving, and that word remember is all over the Psalms. Dozens of times in the Psalms, they recount what God has done so that when they're worshiping through music, it can be genuine. It may not be in this moment I'm feeling this emotion. It's a disciplining of their minds to practice, I'm going to recall the good things that God has done. And you see it over and over, and that's what the Psalms are. They're the worship book, if you will, of the people of God. It's prayers put to a soundtrack. You can actually see that at the top of the Psalms. It'll be like, a blah, 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 and the author like put to, and it'll say like the chord structure and stuff at times. It's prayers put to soundtracks. Over and over though, remember is a key part of that. And they'll recall, God did this, God did this, God delivered us from this, God came through here, God provided there, God brought a breakthrough there. And so much of what is done in worship to genuinely connect is it's the engagement of the mind to think about what God has done. And so us, we still have that privilege because God's still working. And the whole testimony of the people of God throughout the Bible is now our testimony, and we can look back there. But there's also your life personally, your family's life, your church family's life. So there's plenty of material that when we enter into a worship song to engage our minds, to take the lyric and say, how can I authentically connect with that lyric in thanksgiving? And say, yes, God, you have done that. You have shown me incredible love. Now, I may not be emotionally feeling this love high at the moment. And if you are, awesome. But if you're not, that doesn't mean you can't genuinely engage in worship. There is a thanksgiving man, if I look back on my life, God, I've seen what you've done in my life. I've seen how you've changed me. I've seen how you've worked in my family. I've seen how you've worked in my church family. I've seen how you, man, on the cross, if there's ever a doubt of God's love, remember the cross. And it's that engaging of the mind to say, how can I connect this lyric with authentic experience? How can I remember so I can genuinely engage in authenticity with this lyric? That's a big, massive part of its thanksgiving for what God has done. And another piece, and there's more to it, but I'm simplifying for this morning. Thanksgiving for what God will do. It's a taking of God's promises. It's a taking of God's character, of God's nature. And as Jesus said, declare it in advance. Thank God for what he will do because of his character, because it's what he promised, because he's a good father and he said, trust me for this. And that's where it's so important to know the word of God, to get into God's word, so that when we're singing songs that may not be our present reality, we're singing something that's big and it's lofty and it feels like, well, that's not what's happening in my life yet. That's okay. That doesn't mean you are now inauthentic or that you can't engage. That's a place where you go, how does God's word say this truth? So that I can make this lyric that may not be my present reality, I can turn it into a declaration. God, your word says this. Oh, boom, connect. So I am declaring, this is what you want to do in my life. Thank you, God, that this is your heart. Thank you that I can come to you in prayerful worship right now and pour out my soul that says, yes, thank you that this is the future that you have for me because it's what you've promised. And so worship music is just this incredible opportunity regularly to live out what Jesus told us to do, which is make faith-filled declarations of what haven't yet happened but are ours in Christ, and promises from our good Father that we then leverage our faith and live in this tension. Thank you, God, that that's coming. And that's a major aspect of how we can authentically engage in worship music. Thank you, God, that it's coming. So I want to take us just to a couple songs that we are going to sing today as these faith-filled declarations. One of my favorites recently, No Longer Slaves. Oof. That was the song I was talking about that I was singing in the car by myself and just getting jacked up. It's just, there's a lyric in there, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. Now, that may not feel like your present reality. You may feel a lot of fear. So how do we connect with God? A, first of all, if you can truly feel how God has set you free from a lot of fears and the beauty of what you've experienced coming into God's family, as that lyric says right before there, I've been born again into your family. If you can connect with that as a past Thanksgiving, it can be. As you're singing, you're engaging your mind. Thank you, God, that you have freed me from so many fears. Wow. But if you are just in a moment where you're singing this song or this song is being sung and you're like, dude, I am full of fear right now. But I'm supposed to sing, I'm no longer a slave to fear. This doesn't make sense to me. This is hypocrisy. This is inauthentic. If you know the word, this is where faith-filled declarations come in. For example, this lyric from the song is actually a quote of Romans 8, 15 and 16, which says, you did not receive, past tense, it's already yours, it's done. You did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoptions as sons, as children of God, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. So there is a biblical statement of your reality in Christ. You have received, you have not received a spirit of slavery to fear. In fact, you've been set free from fear. Fear of death, fear of sin, fear of the future, fear of life without God, fear of pain and brokenness. God wants to set us free. And as it says in 1 John 4, perfect love casts out fear when his love is perfected in us. Fear is not a fruit of the Spirit. So you can take this lyric, I'm no longer a slave to fear, I'm a child of God, and you make it a faith-filled declaration where you're like, I am putting my foot down. I'm saying no to fear because my inheritance, according to Romans 8:15, as a beloved child of God, is I don't have to be a slave to fear. So I'm no longer a slave to fear. You sing that with authenticity as a faith-filled declaration of God, this is what I'm trusting you are going to do in my life. This is what I'm trusting you want to do in my life. It's a promise in your word. So I'm going to hold on to it saying you want me to walk in increasing freedom, not fear, not to be a slave to fear, but as I bask in being a beloved child of God, fear is not going to be my master. And so you can take a lyric that doesn't feel like your present reality and make it an absolutely authentic declaration of prayer in a worship song. Or moving on, that song, we've been liberated from our bondage. We've been liberated from our bondage. I like adding that lyric, I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a child of God. We've been liberated from our bondage. It doesn't always feel that way, right? Do you always wake up in the morning feeling, man, I have been so liberated from my sin. I am so free from all sin. Man, I am so liberated. It doesn't always feel that way, right? However, what does the Bible say? What does Romans 6 say? Romans 6:6 says, we know our old self was crucified, past tense, it's dead, was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. All past tense. It's already all done in Christ. I am no longer a slave to sin. That is a 100% faith-filled, true declaration from God's word, Romans 6:6. I am no longer enslaved to sin. Those are the kind of things. So when we say we're liberated from bondage, you may not feel that in the moment, and that's okay. Thank him for the liberation, the freedom that he's brought you from, and then thank him that your future reality exists of more and more walking in the freedom that is yours in Christ. And you make it. Thank you, Lord. We've been liberated. So you're singing that song. Thank you, God, that that's your promise. And I'm going to declare in faith that that's your promise, that I'm going to walk in more of that reality. Because it's the word of God and a promise of God's character. See where we're going with this? Beautiful opportunity. Worship music is a beautiful opportunity to leverage your faith for what God has said he wants to do. So it's a beautiful opportunity for you to declare in faith, your faith in the promises of God that are coming. Another one, a new song we're going to sing today, probably not a new song to a lot of you guys. You Make Me Brave. Oh, what a declaration. What a declaration. You call me out beyond the shore into the waves. No fear can hinder the promises you've made. No fear can hinder the love that made a way. You make me brave. Now, do you wake up every morning just feeling rock solid bravery? Bravery. I can take on the battles that are coming my way. I can take on whatever life throws, whatever situations, whatever mountains. I am feeling brave. No, we don't always feel that way. What does the Bible say? 2 Timothy 1:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear or timidity or cowardice. It's all the same. It could be translated any of those. But of power and of love and of discipline. God has not given us a spirit of cowardice. That's the translation that stuck out to me. In this word, in its root, is the trait of lacking the quality or the spirit that enables you to face danger or pain. God has not given you a spirit that lacks the quality of being able to face fear or danger or pain. Rather, he's given you a spirit of power. And that word power is dunamis, where we get our word dynamite. That's saying it has influence in a supernatural manner. So that little of a verse just said God didn't give you a spirit so that you fear the future, but in fact, he gave you like a little dynamite spirit to have supernatural influence over the problems that come your way. I know none of us wake up every day feeling that all the time. However, it's what God's word says is a promise from our good Father for our life. So a healthy declaration, a healthy faith-filled declaration of this, of what's gonna come my way is, you make me brave. You make me brave. You make me brave. You make me brave. You have not given me a spirit of fear, but your spirit in me is power, love, discipline. That's a healthy, faith-filled declaration of a promise of God coming your way. So you don't have to feel brave in the moment to genuinely engage in a worship song that says, you make me brave. Lastly, break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. There's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. Do you walk every day feeling like every chain has been broken? Every chain of addiction and enticement into your past and the power to walk in freedom from sin and bad habits and bad patterns and bad attitudes and bad actions that hurt yourself and others. Do you walk every moment feeling that freedom? That there is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain? No, we don't. We all walk in here with things that we could call baggage. It's stuff that's just still got its little tentacles on us. Maybe it's lies about ourselves that are holding us down. Maybe it's a true, there's a bondage there. Maybe we've been told so many times in life that we're a loser that we believe it. Maybe we've been told so many times that we're never gonna amount to anything, or that we're a piece of junk, or that we're not worthy of love, that those things have become bonds that hold us down. And then you get something like this, 2 Corinthians 3:17. The Lord is spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Or how about Jesus when he said in John 8:36, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. That's the destiny of God's children, is to walk increasingly alive. Where the spirit of God is, you come increasingly alive. That is such a powerful image. Because once you've tasted of God's goodness, you know that's life. That's where we come alive. And man, what I was doing before, that's not life. That's not my soul being alive. And how beautiful is it that Jesus is saying, when the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, that's where your freedom takes place. And in other words, God's destiny, his will, is that you come increasingly alive in him. and all those bondages, all those lies, all those addictions, all those old bad habits, patterns, and junk that hurt you and hurt others and dishonored God, God's desire is that by his Spirit's presence and the work of Jesus, that you walk increasingly free to be fully alive in him. And so when we take a song like Break Every Chain, we can engage our minds.'t just sing break every chain just to the point where you're just don't even know what we're singing. Take it and as a promise from Scripture. Wow, thank you God that your Spirit's presence, the power of Jesus in my life is to set me increasingly free, and then go to battle. When you say break every chain, think of something in your life that's holding you back. Think of a bondage in your life. Think of a lie that you're holding on to. Think of something that's holding you back, that's entangling you from walking in the freedom that God wants for you. It's a lie. It's a habit. It's an addiction. It's a pattern. It's whatever sin may entangle us, as Hebrews 12 says, right? Set it aside. Walk in the freedom of Christ. And so another great example to say, all right, I may have this addiction, this habit, this pattern, this sin. I'm no longer a slave to sin. Jesus is the bondage breaker. I'm free in his presence. And so I can declare, break every chain. And I make that a faith-filled declaration. I'm thinking about situations of bondage. And I'm just saying, thank you, Lord. You're breaking every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain over myself, my family, my church family, this city. Break every chain. And you're engaging a faith-filled prayer with a specific thing that's a promise from God, and you are putting all that in together. That's authentic worship. Worship is a place to practice our faith-filled declarations. All right, I think we're going to pause there. I'm going to pause there. I would like my wife to add a little something quickly here, and then if the band can come on up, we're just going to practice. These are the three songs we're singing. And I want you to practice what we've been talking about here. And not just for this morning, but to carry it on into as we gather weekly. And one of the things, the way we spend our time together is in worship music that is that opportunity for faith-filled declarations. It may not be your present reality, and that's okay. Engage it as a promise from God that you can thank him in advance and put your faith towards saying, thank you, God, that this is coming.
As Casey and I were talking last night about the sermon, what really stepped out to me was kind of the practicals of how do you, when you're making that faith-filled declaration, how do you have faith that that's who God is? We know Casey was pointing out going to God's word and banking on his promises and saying, yes, I know this is who you are. But just kind of a practical heart thing of how you move to that place of having faith. I actually want to share with you what the Greek word for worship is in the New Testament. There are three different forms of the word worship. The one that's used most commonly that means the idea that we have of what worship is. There are a few other words, but they have a different meaning, like to serve God, which also has worship in it. But the primary word is, I have to look at it, proskuneo. Is that how you pronounce it? Proskuneo. And it means to kiss. The root of it is like how when subjects would fall down before a king or queen that they just adore. And it also is the root word that's used when like a dog comes and just like licks its master. You know how dogs, they just love you. That's why people love dogs, because they just love you. They just don't stop loving you. And it's just really neat that the word in the New Testament, which I will add, is never used in reference to singing, because singing is a part of worship, but we worship him in our spirits, in our minds, in all that we do throughout the day. Worship is singing. Worship through singing is a part of it, but it's not all of it. It's this posture towards God that's just kissing him for his goodness and loving on him. And so the verse that Casey brought up, Mark 11:22, that he's been bringing up for how many months has it been now? He likes it. We like that verse. Can you tell? What's neat is that to be able to go through the process where he's talking about remembering who God is and what God has done in your life, remembering in thanksgiving, you know what, God, I may not be feeling this now, but I'm remembering what you're doing, and I'm going to say thank you for that and move to this place of faith-filled declaration, because what I wanted to explain is in the place of remembrance where we thank him for what he's done, we are kissing him and communing with his character and his nature. We're not staying at, oh, this is what you've done, yay, now I'm moving on to, well, you're going to do it. What we're doing is we're communing with the God who does those good things. Faith is not faith in something happening, like we talked about. Like Hebrews 11:6 says, faith is, I'm going to read it, actually. I'm just going to say it from my head because I don't feel like opening my Bible. He who draws near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And then it's one of our favorite verses, but I'm blanking on where it is. It's, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Where is that?
Luke 12:32.
That Hebrews 11:6, where it says that faith is a faith in not only his existence, but in that he rewards. Faith is rooted in his nature. So let what he's done in our lives, as you praise him for those things, let your heart just commune with him and kiss him and come into like this spirit to spirit contact with the God who gave those good gifts, where you are, it's almost like you can feel his presence and his goodness. Let his gifts take you to his arms, his presence. Bask in him. And as you're, and that in itself is an experience where it's, you're in his presence. You are being transformed as you bathe in his presence. And as that soaks into you, God, thank you that you're this. Thank you. And as you come into communion with him and experience his nature like that, it's like faith becomes so easy as you're in his presence like that. I don't know if that makes any sense. And I'll give you a practical. As we've been pressing in for my breakthrough with healing, it's been a long time. And it hasn't happened yet. And I felt like God was really putting on my heart to praise him for all the things where we have had breakthrough come so easily, where I've just been able to sit in the posture of a child and just receive his goodness. And as I praise him for that and just worship him and kiss him for that, my heart comes into this place of communion with the God who is that amazing provider, who is so faithful, who provides for me like a good father. The God who allows me, who's given me permission to just be a child as he takes care of me. And there's something in that where I come out of that experience of worshiping God and I'm filled with faith that this is who he is and that in this situation that I haven't yet seen his presence and his kingdom transform my life yet, I'm filled with faith that's grounded in his nature that he's doing it again. And that it's coming because faith is rooted and grounded in who he is. And the thanksgiving can lead us to this authentic place of communion with who he is, which builds our faith because we can't come away from experiencing him without seeing him and knowing him deep in our being and knowing who he is. And we come away with expectancy, hope-filled expectancy, as we let ourselves just really just sink into the pools of fresh water that he's already poured into our lives. I need you to